recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we're joined by a very special guest. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm doing great. And you know me, I love special guests. But today, we got the bro with us this week, man.
That's right. Matt Riddle's on the show tonight. The Kurt Angle Show. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kurt. Thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be here, and Kurt, it's good to see you again. It's been a minute. It's been a while, and yeah. I think the last time we saw each other was, well, when you reffed the Fight Pit match in NXT.
That's right, in NXT. You versus, gosh, why can't I remember his name?
Steve Thatcher.
Yes, Thatcher. Yeah. He was a good talent.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time. Oh, and I wanted to bring it up, Matt. Do you remember when they asked me to manage you?
I do remember that. I wish
I would have done it, man, but you know what? The money was not really that good. They didn't want to give me that much money. And it was like, okay, I would love to manage Matt, but you got to give me a little bit more money than that.
I don't agree with you more. I can't agree with you more because when you're on the road, that schedule, it's taxing on your body. And even if you're just managing, even if you're just cutting promos, yeah. It's, The wrestling's not the hard part. I mean, it's wear and tear for sure.
Traveling is the hard part, yeah.
Travel is the most brutal part of wrestling. Even this past weekend, I was up, you know, I did MLW. I did a couple signs in upstate New York and New York City. And, dude, the snow and renting cars and everything. I had 3 months off. I didn't miss it. I did not miss travel at all. But
Nobody misses the travel, Matt. Nobody. Yeah.
But at the same time, going to the signings, having hundreds of people coming and just stoked to see me, and then doing the show and wrestling Jacob Fatu, you know. So it's like I've wrestled everybody in the bloodline now. And it was a really awesome weekend, and it made me like almost fall in love with it again, especially the indies, because wrestling on TV is a lot different than wrestling an indie, and having that freedom and just being able to cut loose and do
take
what
your time.
Take your time and not having to rush, and the ref's like 5 minutes left. I mean, he was giving me time. The ref was doing a great job, but you know, I knew I could celebrate a little longer or celebrate a little less at the end of the match if I had to. And it was nice, you know.
Matt, man, listen, it's great to have you on the podcast. Appreciate you doing this. And you had quite the run in WWE, and we're going to get to that. But it all started for you, as many of our listeners know, in MMA. Do you ever see yourself returning to MMA?
I can see myself returning to MMA pretty soon. I mean, I've been training a lot. I mean, right before I came in here, I was working out, getting it in, and then I'm going to go teach jiu-jitsu. And I've always been in fight shape. That's kind of my thing in the UFC. Like, they could call me on 2 weeks, 3 weeks notice and throw me in a top 10 fight, and I could probably win. So, I'm always down for the fight, but it just has to be the right fight for the right money, because right now with professional wrestling, with New Japan and everything else, the money's really good in professional wrestling. That was the one thing that lacked in mixed martial arts and one of the main contributing factors of why I went over to professional wrestling.
Well, Matt, was it a tough transition for you to go from MMA to pro wrestling?
You know, I would say, and I don't know if you could agree, the wrestling part, easy for me. Like, you know, I could do the flips, the tricks, the moves, the slams. I can take a beating. That part, connecting with an audience, you know, being like, even if you are charismatic, because I've seen guys be charismatic in the locker room or backstage, but to be charismatic in front of millions of people, thousands of people live, you have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to connect to mass audience. And that was the hardest part. Also, in fighting, if you're the best, or just like in wrestling, if you're the best, you win, right? Well, in professional wrestling, even if you think you're the best, or a lot of people think you're the best, that's not the case. It's who books you and how they want it. And that's how pro wrestling is. But like I said, the money's right. And it's a lot of fun too. I just love pro wrestling. So
I had a blast too, Matt. It was the funnest time of my life, to be honest with you.
And Matt, listen, I don't know if you remember or not. We've gone back and watched Kurt in his early days too, when he was trying to connect with the audience, and he spent time in Memphis in those days. And, you know, it takes everybody time to figure it out. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's weird because, you know, when you start, people like, you know, people that have been doing it for a while be like, you know, just be yourself, but turn it up, you know, or, you know, like, and you're like, I am myself. What do you mean, turn it up? And it's like, and then one day it clicks and you're like, oh, I get it. Like the life of the party. That's what I'm going to be right now. You know, or I'm going to be the downer of the party and make it miserable or whatever it is, but it's turned up, it's accelerated. So it's like, but it's something you don't realize even when selling, you know, when you get punched in the face in the UFC, you're not going to go, oh, so no. Right. But because you're telling a story, you're showing that you're getting pain inflicted on you, and now you got to overcome it, or you don't, you just get beat up, whatever it is. But you're showcasing the actions, while, like, say in fighting, you mask your movements and actions, just like wrestling, you feints and shots. And you don't want, I don't want people to know my next move when I fight. In wrestling, I want you to know what I'm going to do, and maybe it gets turned around, but I'm projecting, you know. And that was the hardest part for me.
Let's talk a little bit about your run in NXT. What were some of the highlights for you personally working in NXT?
Well, NXT, one of the highlights worked. Well, Kurt, you know, repping that match. That was a match in NXT. So, you know, it was a farewell. Plus, it was the first ever fight pit. Plus, Kurt Angle, Stallion, legend, repping, you know. So That's definitely one of the bigger moments. But I would say another one, because I'm a big fan of good matches. So even if it was like a bigger moment, I'm a big fan of, you know, good matches. And I had a great match with Adam Cole in NXT for the title. And it was just, Adam Cole is such a talent, and he's fun to be around and everything else. And I really loved that match. And then when me and Stallion Pete teamed up, and we were the Broserweights, and we won the NXT tag team titles in Portland, Oregon, you know, because they're pretty bro friendly up there. And we won the team championships, and it was just an awesome moment after winning the Dusty Cup, because originally we weren't supposed to win anything. We were going to lose first round. Pete turns on me, and then storyline. That's kind of like how all my tag teams start, you know. But yeah.
Well, when you were finally called up to the roster, I was the one who announced that you would move to the SmackDown roster. What was that feeling like?
You know, going to the SmackDown roster, I knew it was the big show. You know, not that Raw isn't. Raw's been there forever. But when you first get called up, you know, getting called up to Raw is cool. But when you first get called up, getting called up to SmackDown, because it's on Fox, and it's like, there's a lot of prestige, or at least at that time when you announced me, there's a lot, you know, I don't know how it is now. Things change. Endeavor took, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces. But when I was there, the place to be was on Fox, especially during COVID and everything else, because it was like most watched thing going. So it was huge. I knew I was put in a fantastic spot, you know.
Talk of you mentioned COVID. You wrestled the whole time, Matt, during the pandemic, either at the Performance Center, the Thunderdome. You were all over it. What was that experience like? Because, man, it was so different, I'm sure. I mean, for us to watch it, but for you as an athlete, as a wrestler, what was that like?
For me, honestly, highly enjoyable. you know, and not because I don't like the fans. It's even more enjoyable with the fans. But, like, you know, when you wrestle in high school, there's sometimes you wrestle and there's not that many people in the stand sometimes, you know. And when I was on the Ultimate Fighter, we basically fought, and like, we're fighting, we're breaking faces. I broke a dude's jaw in front of like 15 people, yeah. You know,
open arena. Yeah.
For me, it was like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's just like, it's a job, you know. I can still get that adrenaline pumping, even if there's no people or if there is people, because I just psych myself up. So I was kind of used to that situation. I know a lot of the guys I worked with weren't, and they weren't happy with it, of course, because no crowd, how do you feel the moments? How do I sell? Usually I pace myself here. Well, when there's no crowd or anything, it was kind of more like sport because you didn't have to wait for the crowd or listen. You know, you're still listening. You know, the ref's getting cues. But then again, it's like there's nothing to really give cues on. You know the match. You've given the times. There's, you know what you're filming for, you know. And then even when we went live, it was pretty much the same because we didn't have to work around a crowd or anything random, you know.
Right.
Well, you would look, you would team up with one of my best friends, Randy Orton, to form RK Bro.
Yes.
This was awesome.
Randy,
what did you learn from Randy?
How good does Randy look?
Oh, he looks incredible. He came back. He looks better than he ever looked.
Comes back, dude, looking like a stallion, hitting RK left and right, moving good. I'm super stoked for Randy coming back and everything like that. And I can't thank him enough for being my tag team partner. You know, he's a great talent.
He's one of the best of all time, man.
Yeah, he really is. Really helped me out through like a lot of tough times because I was going through a divorce at the time and everything else. And he's been through a similar situation. And he was just a real brother, you know, and especially, you know, when you're on the road, it's not like I can call anybody, you know. I say I can, but it's not the same. And to have him there and be that supportive, because you know how Randy can be, and for him to be that supportive to me, and you know, it was nice. Randy has a spot in my heart forever. You know.
Do you still keep in touch with Randy at all, Matt?
I do. I talked to Randy before his SmackDown match the other day.
Oh, cool.
He was busy though. He's like, "Hey man, I'll call you back. I'm, you know, calling this three way, what have you." And I go, "All right, dude." He didn't call me back, but you know, he's Randy.
Randy.
He picked up.
Yeah.
Nice to hear his voice. You know, I know he's doing good. He's calling the match. That's all. I just wanted to check in anyway. That's cool.
Yeah, he's in the big main event at the Royal Rumble. Now it's a four-way, Kurt. I don't know if you saw that with
I didn't. Who's that?
Randy, yeah, LA Knight, Randy, AJ, and Roman. Okay. Nice. There you go.
The good one.
Yeah. Well, listen, you made some news recently where you stated that if it wasn't for Brock Lesnar, you were scheduled to win the Royal Rumble. Speaking of Rumbles.
I wouldn't say if it wasn't for Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar doesn't write the script. But sure, at the same
true.
Time, anybody that's been in the back knows people can be very influential. And I'm not going to say I was guaranteed to win because anybody that's wrestled in WWE, nothing's guaranteed. I had a United States title that I was supposed to keep. I lost it, you know. Me and Randy were supposed to turn on each other. We didn't. You know, a lot of things are told to you and don't happen and other things happen. But yes, at one point I was told it was a possibility that I might win the Rumble. And that I was going to do a triangle to Brock and this and that. And when Brock came in the back, and Brock is Brock. I have no hard feelings. He just did the job to Bobby. He goes, "Hey, you guys got to do business for me. I did good business for Bobby. I'm going to do good business for me." And we're like, "All right, what are you going to do?" You know? And everybody was like, "Okay." And that's what we did. We fed in and we did our jobs.
Nice.
All right. Well, you're no stranger to heat between Goldberg and others. Why do you think that was?
You know what? I think it's because I came from the world of mixed martial arts. And even if you hear what fighters say to each other to get ticket sales, it's ruthless. Even if you heard Dylan Dan is talking to Logan Paul for their boxing match. He was bringing up girl, this, that, and the other thing. And just the fight game's ruthless. And honestly, I feel like I'm not that ruthless, but, you know, I'll talk some trash there and there. And I did. And in professional wrestling, unfortunately, you know, it's confusing to me because I would think, you know, because we do what we do, it's kind of a work, that people would be more flexible with it. But instead, they take stuff way more personal. And every time I open my mouth, somebody takes something personal. You know, I swear.
You know what, Matt? You're just like me. You're a clickbait. That's what it is.
it's brutal. But at the same time, it's like, it's weird because at the same time, it's like, oh, it's brutal. But at the same time, it's valuable, you know, because anything I do gets attention. Anything I do has eyes.
True.
For better or worse, you know.
It makes the headlines, Matt. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Any of those situations where maybe after you said something, you were like, "Damn it, I probably shouldn't have said that," or tried.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a difference between saying it to your friend, saying it to somebody, a family member, and then saying it to, you know, the world, you know, because you got to realize the people that know me know what I mean or know my sense of humor or what have you. Well, other people that don't know me, like, I'll tell you this, Randy, before he knew me and he met me, he hated me. He was like,
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he's like, got fired. Like, he hated me. And then once he got to know me, we became pretty good friends, you know? Right. It goes on with others. Even, I would even say, me and, you know, Bill Goldberg, we had our heat, and then we were stuck on a plane together coming back from Saudi, and, you know, we bumped shoulders a couple times, and I wouldn't say we're the best of friends, but I think we are on a better field now.
A little more understanding.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, you know, in wrestling, you're going to have to work with people, and like, we had walk a fine line of talking trash and getting heat and stirring the thing, because that's the thing we do. We're trying to make you feel something. We're trying to make you entertain. We want you to think it's real.
Real.
So, like, that's kind of where I try to blur the line. It's unfortunately, sometimes I blur the line too much, you know?
Yeah, where the it's not blurred anymore. They just don't like you. So there you go. Hey, listen, you talked about it when you jumped on the show, and you would be involved with the Bloodline, wrestled Roman Reigns in one of his rare TV title defenses. So you got Seth Rollins, the Fight Pit match with Daniel Cormier. I mean, what are some of your favorite memories of those experiences I just talked about?
Well, the Fight Pit with Daniel Cormier, I would say this, that Fight Pit was 10 times the Fight Pit. It was 10 times the size of the Fight Pit we used, Kurt. I don't know. This thing was like 30 feet tall, I swear. The one we were in, I did a backflip off of, no problem. The one we did in Philadelphia, that thing was terrifying. That thing must have been 20 feet, 25 feet off the ground. Like,
holy crap.
And then, like, you know, but it was.
Why did they use a different cage? Why did they use a different pit?
They souped it up, and then but like, the crazy thing about being in matches like that, even being like in Money in the Bank at TLC in Las Vegas, climbing up a 15-foot, 20-foot ladder and doing a backflip off it onto 10 people, or doing an RKO off the top, you know, it's or even jumping off the Fight Pit in Philadelphia, or even in NXT doing flips and like, those are some of the craziest memories. And like, those are memories I'm going to have. And when I watch back when I'm a little older and be like, what was I thinking? You know, like, oh, because I do the same thing when I watch my fights. When I watch my old UFC fights, I was like, I'll block a head kick and it was so hard. I'm like, oh my, like, that would
you could feel it even on the TV, right?
Yeah. So, but those are just special moments. And then I'd say my favorite moment on the main roster, if I had to pick one, has to be when me and Randy retained the tag team championships at WrestleMania. That audience, when we both G'd them up and the whole crowd's roaring because they want those RKOs, and then they're taken away, but then we get them back with the springboard RKO and he catches Gable out of a diving headbutt. It was a it's a magical moment, you know, at least for me. You know, I got a plaque over there on the wall from it. You know, it was pretty bad. So, yeah, so for me, that was probably the end all be. That was the peak, for sure.
Listen, I have people coming up to me constantly asking me for advice, whether it be about their in-ring game, coaching tips, or how to make the perfect Lost in Space face. Well, none of that matters right now, because I'm here to fill you in on how to help you immediately with one of my all-time favorite activities, sex. Yes, sex. If you want to have better sex, but erectile dysfunction is getting in the way, look no further than Hims. Believe it or not, millions of men deal with the hardships of ED. But with Hims, there's a simpler, affordable way to get treated for ED. So you could just get your groove back in the bedroom at a cost you desire. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable and discreet sexual health treatments, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to clinically proven generic alternatives to Viagra and Cialis, up to 95% cheaper, with options as low as $2 per dose. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free and in discreet packaging. No insurance needed. Pay one low price for your treatments, online visits, ongoing shipments, and provider messaging. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/angle. That's hims.com/angle for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/angle. Oh, it's true. It's damn true. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, Matt, do you think the WWE-UFC merger into TKO sped up your exit from the WWE?
I think that definitely didn't help things. me and Dana White don't have the greatest relationship, and I know he's definitely a big part of that. And it definitely played a part. Also, I know they were making budget cuts regardless, and I was getting paid quite a pretty penny, you know, when I don't know if it was right before RK-Bro or right after they, you know, the Laurinaitis pulled me into the office and I thought I was in trouble. I was like, oh, you know, I didn't get my vaccine yet. And I was like, oh man, like, I don't know, you know, and I went in there like, hey, we wanted to give you a raise. And they gave me a substantial raise and it increased, you know, every year. And this year I was going to get paid $1 million a year. I was at 750. And I mean, last year I cleared my bucket. I did extremely well. So I think that was a big contributing factor. I was going to get paid $1 million starting next year. But I also think, you know, the merger didn't help. And then also my behavior didn't help either, you know, and I ruffled some feathers, you know, with HR in the last couple months I was there. I asked a couple questions and this, that, plus other things. So I think there was multiple reasons why they got rid of me, but it is what it is. You know, one door shuts and another one opens, and you just learn from your mistakes and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. And you said it, you learn from your mistakes and move on. So I'm sure there's obviously maybe some regrets, probably would have done some things a little differently. I'm guessing.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of things, you know, I probably would have done a little differently. I probably wouldn't have talked a lot of shit that I talked, you know, that helped a lot, you know. But, you know, I'll be honest, like, you know, I working on the road, traveling that much, and then bad decisions, and that's just what happens. It's life, you know.
Learning and, lesson, like you said.
Have bad people around, you know, and unfortunately, when you're on the road, sometimes it's out of control, you know. So,
yeah,
that's it. But, I have no regrets, you know. You know, you only live once, and you learn from your mistakes, like I said. And yeah.
Nah, man, it's all good. And you talked about another thing that you talked about when you first joined with us today was that you, listen, Major League Wrestling in the Northeast, you were fighting through the snow. You took on Jacob Fatu. You got the victory. Talk about your experience working with MLW.
Well, I've worked with MLW in the past, and I like with Court Bauer. He's, you know, he's there, and he's great. That's actually where I first met Bruce Pritchard. He was actually working at MLW, and we hit it off right off the bat. And they just run a very professional, you know, show, and that's rare to find a lot on the indies, you know. And they take care of me, and they took care of me before, and they give me great opponents, like, you know, Jacob Fatu, and they got a great relationship with New Japan as well, so there's no real problem there. And yeah, and because it's a little looser than, say, a TV schedule and matches, it's, I don't have to kind of worry about that element of things at the moment, you know?
Well, you're about to make your trek to New Japan. How excited are you for that?
Dude, I've been waiting to go to Japan since before the WWE. I was trying to get there before WWE. It's just that when they finally offered me a deal, WWE offered me a deal, and the money was right and I'd be closer to my family and other things. So I kind of went with that, especially at that age. My kids were a lot younger, you know, but now that I'm older, you know, I got the other opportunity and I'm literally, I couldn't be more excited. Like I've, this is a good.
Everybody that wrestles needs to experience going to Japan.
Yeah.
I've been there for about a year and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. And that's, I got a year visa. So I plan on working throughout the year and I have plans on, I'll be there in February. I'll be there in Sapporo wrestling Tanahashi for the TV title, which I didn't know they were going to throw me up there like that. That's awesome. But I'm pretty stoked. I'm honored, honestly, and flattered that they would put me in such a position. And all I can do now is not disappoint. And I know my style. I know my athleticism. I know what I bring to the table. I'll thrive over there. And given the opportunity, which they're giving me, I think I'm going to make some noise. And that's my plan. Just make some noise and kind of bring in a more aggressive bro, you know. People still want the bro, which is okay, but I want to bring back that more aggressive version of me, not the, you know, kind of goofy whatever bro. Hey, you know,
goofy bro, yeah,
times, but not all the time, you know, and have common sense when I wrestle, not just fall into traps all the time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you kind of have, you know, when you're wrestling, especially when it's more entertainment based, and it's all entertainment, but you know, especially when you play the goof, you're gonna be, you know, doing goofy stuff all the time. So
I've been there, Matt. I've been there and done that. I've been on both sides. Yes.
And I love both of them too, but I think this time, you know, going to New Japan, I think I can show a more serious, more sports side, get more of my mixed martial arts in there.
Show your fighter side. Yes, definitely, Matt. Yeah.
And that's why even the video package, I made that video package for some of my friends that film here in Orlando. And I wanted to be, you know, a lot of people did other stuff. You know, it was more movie or more action or what have you. You know, it's dark or sinister. Mine was, I'm in the gym. Because that's where I am most of the time. I'm in the gym. I'm training. I'm fighting. I'm sparring. I'm doing jiu-jitsu. I'm teaching. And that's where I excel. And I am fun. I can be entertaining. I can cut a promo and talk some trash. But at the same time, I want people to look at my body of work in the ring and really understand how good I am. And I want, and for me, there's a lot of pressure and I want people to know how good I am. And I want to be on that list with Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega and everybody else and Okada. And I want to be on that top list. And I know I can be, and that's the goal.
Man, that's a good list. But my, before I ask you more about future plans, I got to ask, it's the Kurt Angle Show. You, fond memories, big fan of wrestling when you were a kid growing up. Anything that you can remember about Kurt Angle?
Sure can. At the Pepsi Arena in Albany, New York. I believe you won your world championship there, right?
My first world title, yeah, against the
I was in Albany, New York. That was the closest venue I could go to. That's where my parents would take me. And I saw you win the championship.
Wow.
Nice. Happier. And people were booing. I don't think you were a fan favorite then. And I was a big, because I wrestled and, you know, I was wrestling in high school.
Right.
And I was stoked and I was just, you know, flexing on everybody and screaming. And it was a really good time. That's my fondest, that live event. And also I was there for when Austin had the beer truck. They would do the Mania, the Raw before Mania, the Raw after Mania in Albany, New York, like almost every year around that time. So I got to see Stone Cold spray the beer all over the ring, you know, and then I saw you win the world title. So
what did you think of his milk truck, his take on the beer truck?
It was amazing, of course. I'll tell you this. Anybody at a pro wrestling show that drives a truck out to the ring that shoots liquid, it could be a fire truck, milk truck, beer truck, the crowd, it's a good time. Everybody's happy.
You're right. Even if you shot water at the wrestlers.
Yeah. But I'll say this, your cheers with the milk, personally, way more memorable. There's Austin's done it more, but that cheers on the hood of the milk truck, right? Just dunked.
Yeah.
It's legendary, bro.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that.
And he did it at the Hall of Fame in a tux. I mean, come on.
That was bold. That was bold.
You know what? I had to wear that tux the next night.
Yeah, I believe that. I bought a tux. They're pretty expensive. I'm not trying to buy two. You know, I'll clean it.
Oh, this has been so fun. Hey, man, tell us about your future plans. I know you got New Japan coming up, but what does the rest of this year look like for you?
Right now, it's New Japan. I got MLW. I got some shows Mania Weekend. I got MCW in February at the beginning. I got a show in Toronto doing a little fundraiser in early February as well. A lot of signings, like Astronomicon and Comic-Cons all over the world. I'm doing For the Love of Wrestling in the UK in Manchester, I believe. Also in the beginning of March. And then, so it's
a love of wrestling. They're incredible turnouts. Yes. You're going to love it.
I love going to England or the UK period to wrestle for anything because they come out in droves. They love it. They support it. I mean, I know you've wrestled in Rev Pro and I've wrestled in Rev Pro and you remember how crazy those crowds
get. Yes. They're absolutely insane. Yeah,
that's one thing you can't like put a price on. Like indies in America get pretty cool, they get pretty wild, but nothing like an indie like OTT or Progress or those at Rev Pro or WXW in Germany. There's certain indies around the world, especially in Europe and the UK area, that at least when I was before, those were crazy areas to be and just crazy crowds, and they were white hot, you know.
What about that Matt Riddle merch? Where can people get that? You got to have some merch.
Merch is, I'm waiting.
Okay.
I was going to have it right out, but I felt like everybody else was doing it. Yeah. I kind of stagger things, you know, because I knew like, oh, well, this is the official release day. Let me do this. Oh, maybe I should have a website, do it after Christmas. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let it cool down. Let me prove myself on the indies a little bit more, you know? And so I don't have any merch right now, you know. I got a bunch coming to me. Cool. It's being shipped. But right now I wasn't in a rush, you know.
Gotcha.
And honestly the last 3 months I just wanted to decompress, you know. Mm-hmm. It was you know, 5 years, 6 years in WWE. And then before that, to get to WWE, I had to wrestle a lot on the indies and travel the world. And then before that, I was in the UFC. So it was like, you know, didn't really have any break. And that was the first time I just got paid to sit at my house. So it was crazy. It was crazy.
Hey, you're still going to get those merch checks from WWE for the next couple of years.
I got a quarterly thing the other day, and it's pretty big. And I was like, oh man, like I thought they would have tried to like hawk all my gear on discount.
No, it'll stay like that for a while, Matt. You'll be okay.
So the Funkos and the action figures and the t-shirts, I guess the 420 merch, they are still selling. So
good.
Yeah.
I want to wish you the best luck in the future. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I just want to tell you I'm a big fan of yours and I'm going to continue to follow you.
Hey, Kurt. Likewise, man. I couldn't say it better myself. You're one of the coolest guys I've ever met. You're a complete professional. And like I said, you gave me multiple memories from my childhood up until my professional career in the WWE. And I wish WWE would have paid you more money.
We would have had a blast, Matt. We would have been so damn funny.
Much fun in the stories and the angles we could have done. It would have, yeah. Us two together, it would have been magic for sure. So
I know. Well, you know what? Never say never, Matt. It might happen.
I've learned in this business, be it mixed martial arts, be it pro wrestling, be it whatever. Never say never, and the cream always rises to the top.
You're absolutely right, brother.
Dude, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're up against it. You got a busy schedule heading out to Japan. Good luck. Again, as Kurt said, thank you so much for joining the show with us this week.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Take care, Matt.
All right, there he is. Matt Riddle, what do you think, Kurt?
He was awesome.
He was. A lot of energy.
You talk about the charisma oozing out of this guy. He's great. I love his whole bro thing. I just think it's hilarious. I know it's him, but it's just crazy, man. It's like, you know, you see these guys on TV that act like that, and you're like, that's not real, but it's real.
It's who he is, no doubt about it. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool that he was actually at your first title win as a kid.
Yeah, I didn't know that. He never told me that.
Never told you?
Yeah, that was against The Rock. That was in 2000.
I wasn't going to let him escape.
I was only 10 months into wrestling at that time, and it was a crazy that I won the title from The Rock.
Well, I wasn't going to let him escape without talking about his favorite Kurt Angle memories, because listen, we have guests on, they love you, man. And he's just another one that grew up watching your career. And he said, you need a little bit of the goofiness. And Kurt's like, do I know all about Goofy? Yeah, I know all about Goofy. But great guest. Wish him nothing but luck. And listen, he's one of those guys who's been through what he said. I've made some kind of decisions that I shouldn't have made. But you learn. And if anybody knows about going through it and learning, it's you, right? You know, you can move on.
Yeah. Yeah. He's shown that he's a better person, and he continues to keep doing what he's doing. I think as long as he keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
NMLS number 32416, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you put Christmas on a credit card? Don't stress out about that extra holiday spending. SaveWithConrad.com can help you consolidate all of your high interest rate credit cards into one much lower monthly payment. SaveWithConrad.com has helped families just like yours save up to $800 a month. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket. And did I mention no payments until March? So don't make saving money a resolution next year. Make it happen today at SaveWithConrad.com.
Well, hey, man, next week, I don't know. It's up to you whether you want to let the cat out of the bag, but we got another special guest, so.
I'm saying it. Shelton Benjamin. That's right. Team Angle, brother.
Team Angle, Shelton Benjamin, all these guys that have been released. They're ready to come on the Kurt Angle Show, Daddy.
They're coming out of the woodwork, yes.
I love it. Hey, that's going to be – listen, I love having Matt on, but listen, you work elbow to elbow with Shelton Benjamin, so that's going to be a good time.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of my best friends, man. I absolutely love the guy.
Yeah, can't wait. He texted you and said, Kurt, I'm really bad about getting back to people, but with you, I want to come on your show. So we are stoked to have
him. He wouldn't get back to our guy, but he got back to
me. No. Derek, not so much. Kurt, hell yeah. And so, man, we're looking forward to it. We know this episode's a little shorter than our normal episodes, and that's okay. You know what? There's a lot of content out there. So we're giving you a little bit of a shorter episode this week. But Kurt, before we get out of here, you finished the season. Football season, that is, at 21-15. Last week you went 1-1. You picked our Steelers, who are in the playoffs, and as this drops, they're battling the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo at 1:00 Eastern on Sunday. And you don't have to pick any games right now, but congratulations to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mason Rudolph, the lead reindeer.
He saved the season, man. Holy crap.
So you did, but then the Eagles let you down once again. I don't think next year you should be picking the Eagles.
Gosh dang, why is it when I don't pick them, they win, and when I pick them, they lose? Really, like, I thought they were like a really, really good team. Like, they started
not towards the end of this year.
Wouldn't they end up 500 record or something?
No. But they're like, you know, they're definitely not the 1-2, you know, the first two seeds in the NFC. They didn't do well. They didn't end the season strong, but they're in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens. But I think the lesson here is, Kurt, stay away from the Eagles next year. But, 21-15. We're not going to go through all the playoff weeks. What I'm going to do right now is put you on the spot and say, who is your Super Bowl matchup?
Super Bowl matchup, I'm going to have to say, is going to be, I still think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make it. Okay. Even though they lost last week. I believe it's going to be against San Francisco.
San Francisco, all red everything. San Francisco, Kansas City Super Bowl. So you're, you know what, in true AFC North Pittsburgh Steelers fashions, are not buying in on the Baltimore Ravens.
Steelers are not going to the Super Bowl this year.
No, not them. But you're also not buying in on the number one seed Ravens.
No, you listen, the Ravens are awesome. And I'm surprised the Steelers beat them. I know they had their backup quarterback in there. But I
you can't bet against Patrick.
I hate the Ravens. I hate them. Okay. I hate the Browns and I hate the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's because
we're all AFC North.
So I'm never cheering for those teams.
Right. So there you go. And we have a guy who follows us on Twitter, Raven Fan, I think his name is. And he likes to tag me and stuff. He wanted to bet stuff, you know, for us that we would wear things. And I'm like, I'm not getting involved in all that. Well, you just heard Kurt say he hates the Ravens. So there you go. All right. So you're going all red everything in the Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. And we will be back to talk about that after the Super Bowl when it all comes down. Who's winning the Super Bowl then?
Patrick Mahomes.
Kansas City over San Fran.
Yeah. Wow. Patrick is just so damn good. He is the most consistent quarterback in the NFL. And he continues to be, and he's going to end up being the best of all time. If he's in the NFL for 15 years plus, man, he's going to take over all the records from Tom Brady. He really is.
Think this year he needs guys that are going to catch the ball outside of Travis Kelce. His receivers need to start.
Well, catching. Hey, all he needs is Kelce, to be honest with you.
Okay, Kelce and Taylor Swift, as long as she's up in the booth. Are you
as
a Swiftie?
She's treating him right, they're going to be fine.
Oh man, so good. All right, so guys, listen, also want to remind you, check out all Kurt's top impact. You can go ahead and start looking for those chicken snacks, all his past TNA moments at tnawrestling.com/packages, and sign up with code Kurt. And they have debuted this past week all the brand new TNA championship belts. They got all brand new belts, Kurt, for their relaunch of TNA
rebranding.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful championship belts. And so check those
they didn't
out.
Budget, huh? They went all out.
No, they did. And they look, and they're uniform as far as some of the branding, and they look sharp. Listen, if your business targets 25 to 54
by the way, the slogan for TNA is "We're fucking back." How about that?
I love it.
Right?
I didn't know.
T-shirts. Yeah.
I didn't see the "We're back." Okay. Yeah, well, our rating on our podcast this week just went to adult audiences only. All good.
It's
/X. Yeah, I'm not upset about it. But guys, also just don't forget too, 25 to 54-year-old men, or let's just say 55-year-old men. I think that makes Kurt feel better now after December.
It would.
That's our target demographic.
We're going to change it to 56 too.
Every year we're changing that demographic. There's no better place than the advertisement when he's 60, 25 to 60 year olds. They love this show. You advertise with us right here. Advertise with angle.com. Kurt's like, I'm not doing a podcast with you that long. You son of a bitch. Check it out. You can advertise with us. No better place. We have a great audience, loves the show. They're committed. And so check it out, advertisewithangle.com. We have a lot of companies that are joining on board, Kurt. I got another ad for you to record. And some of those are the most fun.
You sent it to me today.
And it's always the male enhancement or grooming the male parts. What's the deal with that? Yes. It's always the theme. It
has to do with grooming the balls and and problems with erections.
It's always about improving your sex life with Kurt Angle. So we're going to record that out a little later. So check it out, advertisewithangle.com. And then merch. How can we not talk about the merch? Because the meme machine is on fire. Boxofgimmicks.com has all that meme machine collection. And what you can't find there, you can find at KurtAngleBrand.com. Kurt, you're printing them pictures left and right. Those one of 500
photos. Yeah.
Yeah, you said you got carpal tunnel signing those already.
Yeah, a lot of people. I have a 500 photo limit. That's all I'm giving out, and they're going to be authentic. There's a letter that comes with it,
certificate of authenticity. Yeah,
it's going to show the number that you have, 1 to 500. So it's really done really well, and I'm almost there are some left, but they're going fast. So if you want any, you're going to have to order them pretty quickly.
Yeah, check it out, KurtAngleBrand.com for the photos. Yeah, Box of Gimmicks and the Kurt Angle Show for all the other merch. We got a hat coming with just his face coming on it. I can't wait. Oh, my God. There is so much that people are applying to your face, and it's not slowing down, Kurt. It's getting more.
No, it's not. It's crazy, man. It's going all over the world, and they're coming up with different ideas and concepts, and it's just crazy.
Juju Smith-Schuster keeps pushing stuff out too from his Twitter.
I know he put out a different meme of me too.
from when you were at the beach. Yeah. You had the old towel around your neck. They caught your face again. So we're having a lot of fun with that, guys. We support, appreciate your support with it. You can find us on all the socials at The Angle Pod, YouTube, KurtAngleTV.com. Kurt broke 70,000 and we're going to keep all on going.
We're on our way.
That's right. Next. Once we hit 100, YouTube sends us a plaque for 100,000. So hey,
that's all I want is that plaque.
There you go. We are competitive sons of bitches. So guys, take care of us. Let's talk about what has gotten you in such great shape, and Randy Orton for that matter. And that's Smart Snacks Crispy Protein Bites. Show us, Kurt. It's raising up.
Smart Snacks Crispy Protein Bites. There's four different flavors. My favorite right now is Sweet Barbecue. They're high protein, low carbohydrate. Go to physicallyfit.com to order yours. You can use the code ANGLEPOD and get 20% off your first order. Or you can go on and sign on the website as a lifetime member and get 20% off forever. These are amazing. I'm telling you, I use them in my diet. I eat them every day. I absolutely love them. I have not gotten sick of them either. They're incredible. You're going to love these.
And you know what you chase them down with is that Project One Nutrition cookies and cream.
Cookies and cream protein powder. Yes.
Yeah.
Project One cookies and cream. Kurt Angle's American Dream cookies and cream protein. High protein, low carbohydrate. Go to projectonenutrition.com to order it. It's the best tasting protein on the market, guaranteed.
There you go. And so support Kurt. And also, as we mentioned already, KurtAngleBrand.com. Not only are you going to find those limited edition Meme Machine photos with the certificate of authenticity, you're going to get the cowboy hats. You're going to get the milk cartons, other photos that are on the site. You're also going to find the link for Cameo videos. Kurt, what are they going to find there?
The whole ball of wax, Paul.
Wow. I just love that phrase. It just sounds so attractive. A ball of wax. So check it out. KurtAngleBrand.com. Kurt, once again, I had a blast with you this week, and thank you so much for taking the time to do this with me. Matt Riddle this week, Shelton Benjamin next week. Thank you, man. This was great.
Thank you, Paul. I had a blast. I always have a blast with you.
All right. On behalf of your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week on The Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.